This is Northwest News from KPLU. Seattle's ties with Nepal run deep, from members of Buddhist temples to the prayer flags you see in people's yards to many relief organizations. For people facing the aftermath of the massive earthquake that leveled Kathmandu, the concern is real. But few of those relationships are as close as those in the mountaineering community. Seattle's Alpine Ascents has more than two decades of experience in Nepal. They had guides, clients, and Sherpas on Mount Everest when the earthquake happened early Saturday morning. KPLU's Mike Lewis spoke with the company's director of programs, Gordon Jano.
Gordon, again, thanks. And I guess my first question is, when did you get news of the quake?
Oh, probably, an hour or so after it happened. One of our climbers was able to get a sat phone call out to her husband, and then he called me shortly after that.
Last year, Alpine Ascents had one of the hardest years in its 27-year history. You had the deaths of five Sherpas on Everest and two guides and four clients on Rainier. What were your thoughts when you heard about the quake initially?
I mean, you just go back to that, you know, same place of initially hoping that as many people are as healthy as possible. I mean, at that point, it's not, you know, your people, their people. These are climbers, part of the climbing community, Sherpa, so it's not a division of who they are or where they're from. You know, when you hear about it, you hope for the best for everybody. It's not divided so much about how our team is or another team.
How long before you heard back from one person? When did you find out that you had passed through the event without any serious injuries or deaths?
I think the initial, we heard about the avalanche at 1 a.m. and we got confirmation pretty quickly after that the team was okay. And then by, I think, 3 or 4 in the morning, I got confirmation that the group at base camp was okay. So it was two tiers hearing from both groups.
What are your guides and clients doing right now on the mountain?
They're at base camp, hopefully sleeping.
And are they, I assume they've been involved in the rescue?
Well, they, you know, where most of them were on the mountain during the time that the avalanche occurred, so they weren't at base camp, but our base camp staff was involved in the rescue in a large-scale way, helping dig people out, getting people out from tents, setting up a triage tent, and so on, along with, you know, most of the people at base camp and the teams. There were those who needed help, and if not, everybody else was assisting.
So some of your climbers and guides were above base camp when this happened, correct?
All of the climbers,
all of them.
Yeah.
And so did they have to establish a new route down to base camp after the quake, or are they still up at a higher camp?
No, they were helicoptered out. It was impossible. We had some of the guides, one of our guides and guides from other teams, tried to go back through the icefall and look at a route, but there were still tremors there, so they were basically stuck at Camp 1. Although healthy, with food, shelter, water, tents, and so on, but, you know, there wasn't a Plan B. Plan A was to wait for helicopters that, you know, came in and amazingly enough, shuttled, you know, 100 or so people off the mountain in rapid succession.
What's the role of the climbing community when a natural disaster like this happens?
Well, I think, you know, climbers as a group are pretty hardy. And, you know, historically proven again and again, they're climbers, and when something happens, they become part of the rescue team, part of helping out, whether we're on Mount Rainier or guides are called on often to help rangers, to help other teams. Other teams have helped us. I mean, that's part of the sport. It's not a decision each time. It's something that you do.
Can you differentiate between your concerns for the climbing community and your concerns for Nepal?
No, I mean, I don't think you can separate my, you know, personal concern about Nepal in general from my interest in the mountaineering community. Seeing the temples destroyed, the routes that your hiking routes up to base camp and those villages and their difficulties, some destroyed more than others, are a large part of what's, you know, certainly on my mind, my partner here, Todd Burleson, as well. We just finished building a school in Namche, one of the areas that were hit that survived, so we're looking to, you know, basically participate in the culture as much as anything. I mean, for me personally, I'm not really a climber. I've been involved in this community for a long time, but the culture, the traditions, the Buddhism, the monastic communities, the way people live, how lifestyles are in smaller villages and more more rural areas, tribal areas, some call them, have always been of as much fascination to me as the mountains, and they're intricately woven. So in my mind, it's all one thing.
Here in Seattle, we're seeing headlines of thousands of people dead. For you, it's a much more personal experience. Where is your focus?
You know, the Sherpas that are with us climbing, it's their parents that are back in the villages, or their brother and sisters and so on. Maybe their houses are destroyed and they're in a tent camp. I mean, those are the broader concerns that we have, and how can we make sure that they're being helped if we give money to organization A or B? You know, how can we channel it up to those areas and so on?
Gordon Jano speaking with KPLU's Mike Lewis. We have a link on our website to tips from Gordon about how to help with the relief efforts. I'm Bellamy Palethorpe, KPLU News.